people who love them.
Hello, my friends. This is Mickey Desai, one of your hosts for The Thing About Cars. It is Christmas time, or close to it. Ben is scrambling to grab the microphone because we have in front of us a bunch of books that we have to go through, and these are really slick-looking books. I totally interrupted his progress on the one he was doing. Ben, keep doing your thing, man. I'm just going to talk us through this here. What's happening, for those who aren't already in the know, is that we have friends at Motorbooks who have been sending us these really cool-looking, they're described as coffee table books. They're very slick, very sharply produced, lots of very cool pictures in them. But the fact of the matter is, some of them are quite a bit more than just coffee table books. They are very well written, extremely informative in some cases, and just excellent references, never mind the pretty pictures and all that. But let's check in with Ben. He's currently spellbound with one particular title. I'll let him tell you about it.
All right, well, this is the complete book of classic and modern Triumph motorcycles, 1937 to today, by Ian Falloon, who I've heard of. He's written a lot of very authoritative motorcycle books. Very well-respected author in the two-wheel world.
I figured that title would grab you.
Yeah, it's really cool. That was the sound of me, you know, taking the crinkly wrap off it a few minutes ago. And I'm flipping through it now, and it's really, really cool. Lots of different models with information about them, really pretty pictures, too, of course, and some neat little sidebars, like there was one on the James Dean movie Triumphs. Thruxton Bonneville. Ooh.
Seems pretty comprehensive. Lots of good trivia in there.
Yes, there is. If you're into Triumph, this is definitely a book you want.
So I imagine you'll be keeping that one.
Well, I don't have a Triumph myself. I'm a BMW guy, but you know, it is pretty cool. I might think about it.
Well, you know, being that we actually have a listening audience, if we do have a listener who says that they are very much into Triumphs, shall we give that book to them?
Yeah, sure.
So what's going to happen here to our listening friends is that we're going to go through these titles real quick because more are coming. We do get these books from Motorbooks with a little bit of regularity. And we have a short stack here that I think we're going to give away with one or two exceptions. And those will become apparent in a minute. But if you want any one of these titles, there's going to be a link on our website, thethingaboutcars.com. Where you will find a Google form. Just tell us, you know, which book you want of that we've mentioned here so far, and we will randomly pick a winner from the folks who indicate they want a particular title. So the first one that Ben was looking at was The Complete Book of Classic and Modern Triumph Motorcycles, 1937 to Today, by Ian Falloon. And if motorcycles, if Triumph motorcycles in particular strike your fancy, please just tell us. I think you'll be really impressed with this book, and it's going to make a fine gift for somebody this holiday season. Ben is already sort of knuckle-deep into the next book. Ben, which one is that?
This is Never Stop Driving, A Better Life Behind the Wheel. And this features many different writers, apparently. It seems to be, I'm not sure if it's a compilation piece or just something they all contributed to, but On the back, it says, Why Cars Matter. Driving is on the way out. That's the message we hear as automakers and tech companies rush to create autonomous cars. These transportation machines promise to be safer and more efficient. They will free us to watch our screens even more. But is this what we want or need? We wonder.
We should probably read that one and actually go through it in detail for the show.
Probably, yeah. It sounds like a good, I don't know what the right word is, motivation piece or just...
conversation fodder?
Yeah, something. Or something like something that. To read if you really want to keep your faith in the automobile, I guess.
So that title is called Never Stop Driving. And if you're interested in it, it is Never Stop Driving, A Better Life Behind the Wheel, edited by Larry Webster, featuring a bunch of other names you may know, like Jay Leno, Patrick Dempsey, and Mario Andretti. Seems like a really cool book. And we will happily give it up after we're done dissecting it on the actual program. I'm going to dive into one here because we've talked about it on the show before. This is the original Chevrolet Camaro book, 1967 to 1969. It is an actual restoration guide. So in addition to being full of very cool and pretty pictures, the first generation Camaro is just a beautiful piece of hardware. This thing actually has step-by-step details and on the differences between each model year and how to fix things and how to extract things, what to do with the VIN and stuff like that. It's just an impressive piece of writing by Jason Scott. If there's a Camaro fan out there, we'd love to give that to a deserving listener. Ben, you looked through this a little bit. Did you notice anything interesting about this book?
Well, the main thing being just the sheer amount of detail. If you are restoring a Camaro and you know, you need to know exactly what your particular car should have equipment-wise or, you know, what's particular for that year or whatever, that seems like a very good guide. It's got all that information. It's got detailed pictures of things like brakes and interiors and, you know, stuff like that. Definitely a valuable resource for someone with an old Camaro.
It's just actually a really cool book and totally feeds my desire to actually acquire a first-generation Camaro. But, you know, when am I ever going to make that kind of money? You never know.
You never know.
We might get a huge sponsor for this show, for instance.
Hey, if there's some sponsor out there who'd like to give Mickey a 69 Camaro, you know, by all means.
Yes, let's talk, please. What's next, Ben?
Well, this is Mini 60 Years.
Ah.
This being, of course, the little British Mini, cute little car that we've seen in a lot of movies and things. And this is pretty impressive. It doesn't seem on the outside like that big a book, but we don't even really get to the actual Mini itself until about, you know, almost 30 pages in. Because
what are they talking about in the first 30 pages?
Background. Oh. You know, what led to it. You know, the need for, you know, basic inexpensive transportation in the post-war world and some of the other cars that were, you know, doing sort of a job of filling that gap. But then, yeah, this looks like a really nice historical piece.
Which is funny because, you know, Mini is no longer regarded as a cheap economical driving solution.
Well, I mean, they're collectible now.
Right.
Know, especially in the United States where they didn't, you know, sell them for very long over here. Very few were imported. So
Right. If
you've got a nice Mini over here, it's worth some money and people will pay quite a bit for them. But, yeah, this is just a nice documentary piece about this car that has been a real icon of the automotive world. Its designer was actually knighted for the contribution that the Mini made.
No kidding.
To the automotive industry. Yeah, Sir Alec Isigonis, and he is often credited with basically saving the British auto industry with the Mini.
I think that's worthy of knighthood.
Oh, sure, yeah. And, yeah, they're very cool little cars. I'm looking at all these pictures and lots of great details. There's a picture of Mr. Bean driving one from a chair on the roof with some ropes through the windows.
I remember that episode.
That was a great episode.
Yeah.
The Mini has pictures from the original Italian job.
Yep.
The Mini is just a great, great classic icon on wheels. And I had one myself once.
Did you?
When I was overseas with Uncle Sam back in the 80s, I had a rust bucket, crapped out 81 Mini. I only had it for a few months before I broke it. But what a cool little car. I really enjoyed it, and it makes me want to keep this book, but I think there's a listener out there who needs it more than I do. It's a very cool book if you're into Minis.
Yes, so it's called Mini 60 Years by
Giles Chapman.
Giles Chapman. If that one belongs on your shelf, find us at thethingaboutcars.com and fill out the form, and we'll, again, pick a person by at random who says they want the book. So in addition to a sponsor, I wonder if we have any listeners out there who can get me a knighthood.
Oh, that would be cool. I'd like one of those myself, actually.
A knighthood?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can they give knighthoods to non-British citizens?
I'm not sure. I think they can.
There's probably some classification.
I'm sure the lesser honors.
Yeah.
I would settle for an OBE, you know. but I'd love a knighthood.
Exactly. So what's next? We have this thing.
Jaguar.
This is kind of like, this is Christmas. These are really cool books.
Yeah, this is the complete book of Jaguar, every model since 1935 by Nigel Thorley.
Right.
And this is the one I spoke of in one of our recent episodes.
Yes.
Well, it's recent if this comes out after that episode.
This is truly the thing that does, on the surface, look like a pure coffee table book.
Yeah.
It's big. It's full of lots of glossy, colorful photos. But again, the information in it, these guys,
yeah,
the people who have written these books are clearly scholars in their own right.
It's more than 250 pages, it's large format, and it's got the total history from the beginning to, I think, about either last year or this year. It's a very recent book. And if you ever wondered where Jaguar came from, I read the first chapter, and it explains it all.
Mm-hmm.
and goes through years and years and years of all these really cool cars they made.
Ben, does this one belong on your shelf?
It could, but...
Ben's got this little smile on his face. I think he's trying to decide if he really wants it or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, if a listener really, really wants it...
Yeah. Full disclosure, there is a slight blemish on the front cover that was inflicted on shipping, so there is a little dent on the front cover. It doesn't really amount to much. I don't think it really detracts from the overall value of the book much at all.
Not at all. It doesn't even go through the front cover.
Right.
So.
Otherwise, solid book. And if you're into Jags, I think it would be a welcome addition to any Jag collector's bookshelf.
Yeah.
What's that on the back?
Oh, that's an F-Type.
That's an F-Type. Okay.
Yeah. That's a,
I was going to say, that looks a little...
Fairly recent, sporty one they make. You don't see a lot of them on the road, but I've seen a few.
Yep. Two more. What do we got?
Yeah. Boss Mustang, 50 years.
Okay, we know who's going to get this book.
Yeah. Although it'd be interesting to see one of the listeners fight her for it.
So that's true. If this book called Boss Mustang 50 Years by... Oh, who is that?
Donald Farr.
Donald Farr. If you're into Mustangs and you want to argue with Becca over ownership of this particular item, please do the Google form thing and let us know. Otherwise, I think Becca is going to hurt us if we don't make it available to her.
And this one's pretty cool too.
It is pretty cool. I mean, I never in my life thought I would be into Mustangs like that before, and this book has changed my mind.
Building the Boss, Chapter 2.
Exactly. It's all about the Boss, right? And I think I've heard Becca refer to the Boss as sex on wheels. And I think she's right.
She just may be. Yeah, some sexy cars in here.
The motors alone. I mean, there's a part of me that looks at that motor and sort of like, just wants to be alone with it for a minute.
1969, Lookout Z28, here comes Boss 302.
Right, Boss 302 is legendary in its own right.
I think, I didn't actually see a Boss yesterday, but there were a bunch of Mustangs from this era at a car show that I went to. There was a matching pair of either 70 or 71 Mach 1s parked next to each other. They had different striping on the insets of their seats, but other than that, they were identical. Mm-hmm. There's a Boss Shelby.
Woohoo! Yeah, that's just nothing but trouble.
Oh, yeah, that's the kind of trouble that it would be very good to get into.
Exactly. Man, look at that thing. It looks fast, and even when it's not moving.
Yeah, these things look like they'd seriously kill you sitting still.
Exactly. And there's an engine that just screams at you. It's like that
those
engine
headers.
Says, right, look at those headers. So I look at that engine, and I think it wants to rip my face off.
A pair of four-barrel Holley Dominator carburetors on top. I don't know how good they are, but if you've got two four-barrel Dominators, that just sounds, pretty spectacular. And well, I'm sure it's faster than any, Toyota you can find out there. It's probably faster than some of the new Mustangs, too. So.
Oh, this one's seen a better day.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a picture of a guy who crashed racing. Yeah. Just front-end damage, but still.
It'll buff out.
Oh, here's something. 1970 Boss 302 colors lists the code, the name, and the number produced.
Right. So if a listener, again, wants to argue with Becca about ownership of this, although the other option is if you would like to join us in making this a Christmas present to Becca, write us a note via the website. Say Merry Christmas to Becca and vote that this book should go to her. I think she would really appreciate that. And she's not listening to this episode. I got to tell you, since it's me and Ben on mic, we are not going to let Becca preview this episode before it goes live. So it will be a surprise. But it's funny to see the Mustang on curvy roads, right? I don't normally think of a Mustang as being true sports car. I think of it being more American Muscle straight line performance.
But. Yeah, there's a lot of racing pictures in here where they're on road courses. So yeah, they're... A lot of Mustangs did go racing. Building the 429, oh boy.
But they're not really known for their handling, are they?
I think it depends, really.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of Americans weren't really into that, because, drag racing was so big in this country. But But, you know, for a car with a solid rear axle, the Mustang really ain't bad, is my understanding.
I think of its competitors, the other pony cars, for instance.
Yeah, they all have Camaro solid axles, too.
Right. Well, and the Camaro's not really a track car, right? So,
Boss Mustang, 50 years. This is very cool. And if you want to fight Becca for it.
Right. If you want to fight Becca for it, find us on thethingaboutcars.com. And tell us that you want it and how badly you want it. Otherwise, you're welcome to leave Becca a note on thethingaboutcars.com and wish her a Merry Christmas with it. I think she'd appreciate that. So, this is our last book, Ben. Whoops, dropped them on the floor. That's not good.
Right, so this last one here is another big, thick, heavy one. And this is the complete book of Porsche 911, every model since 1964.
There's a ton of information in that book.
Yes, because the thing that you'll gather from it right away, if you're not already enough of a Porsche fan to know this, is the 911 is not really just one model. It's really kind of a model family. It's like an overall type.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah. This thing's got... I was looking through it a while back. For instance, here's the 959.
Oh, yeah.
On page 149. Especially in, you know, more recent years, there have been a lot more different, you know, model names under the 959, you know, family overall. I mean, you've got Targas, Carreras, GT3s.
Right, I guess that's true.
I think there are even some other nine numbers that fall into it, I believe. But, wow, I mean, if you're into 911s or, you know, rear-engine Porsches in general, this book is for you.
Remember that ad in the 80s? You may remember this ad. It was sort of a backlit silhouette of a Porsche that's cresting a hill, and it's actually getting some air. And the caption under it said, "There's a reason why the first rocket scientists were German," or something like that.
I don't remember this ad.
I just thought it was a great ad.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. I do remember. Of course, this isn't a rear-engine Porsche, but I do remember the scene in Risky Business. You know, they're driving around on the 928, and, you know... Tom Cruise's character said, "Porsche, there is no substitute." I think at that moment the kid in the back seat throws up.
Right, exactly. And then later, of course, they dump it in a lake.
And the guy at the dealer says, "All right, who's the U-boat commander?"
Right. So this book,
yeah,
it's got everything in it.
It's look at the color on that one.
Yeah,
the bright blue there.
Good photography for sure.
There's a 935 racing model.
So Motorbooks really does a great job with all their books, and I don't know if they seek out authors or if authors seek them out, but I wonder if an author finds a photographer and then goes to get the book published, or does Motorbook foster those partnerships themselves, I wonder.
I don't know, and I wonder if we could interview them about it,
right.
Or something, but...
That would be a nice interview. I'll call our contact there and see if he'd be willing to talk to us about that.
But whichever way they do it, they produce some really nice books.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with this. The quality of all of them that we've looked at here is just really superb. Excellent color reproduction, beautiful layout... and of course the writing is great, very informative. There's nothing bad I can say about these.
No, I can't either. In fact, I just blanked on what I was going to say.
Yeah, you're just hypnotized by the impressive quality of this book here.
Look at that reflection. That is just
a shiny car.
Detailed.
Yeah,
that is just amazing.
And it's just a great photograph.
Yeah.
It's a chapter heading, and what we're seeing is the right front corner of some recent 911 variant. It's black and it's so shiny you can see an old European building reflected in it. And, that's the kind of thing they put in these books. These beautiful, what they do, and then there's excellent writing in between those excellent pictures. It's just wow. I mean, if any car they write a book about, or if they write a book about the car you're interested in, give them a look.
I think that's right. I think that, you know, what we're looking at here, there's a couple of different fans that I can think of. One is, if you've ever read something like a Road and Track or a Motor Trend, these
yeah.
books are right up your alley.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't even done those things, but if you're into any of the car models that we've mentioned, you're going to appreciate what you're going to see in these books.
And I don't even know what all, you know, cars that Motor Books covers, but if you go on their website, I'll bet you it's a lot of them, because they've been around a while.
They've been around a while, yeah.
I think my dad had some of their titles back in the 70s.
Right, and in fact, I owe them an email. They want to send us another preview copy of another book that I think we should definitely get and talk about. The sad thing is we've gotten these books, and none of us have really given them the time to really do them justice, right? Like, we've kind of given them all the 5 mile flyby, and only one or two of them did we ever do the deep dig, right?
Yeah, I read the first chapter of the Jaguar, but that's all the deep reading I've had time to do in any of them.
Right.
But, you know, it was so well written, I want to read the rest of it.
Yeah, and so we may have to do that while we're waiting for our fans to tell us that they want one or more of these copies. And we look forward to hearing from you again. If any of these books sound interesting to you, go to the Thing About Cars and find the blog post that talks about the book giveaway. And I'm going to try to arrange these in some kind of pull-down menu so you can figure out which books that you would indicate that you'd like. And like I said before, we will pick a winner at random from folks who say they want a particular title. And we always look forward to hearing from you guys. So let's have fun with this and let's put these books in some deserving folks' hands.
Yeah.
So anything else, Ben?
I'm so stunned by the coolness of these books that I don't think I can think of anything. I'm just like basking in their glow.
Right. Thanks, as always. This has been The Thing About Cars. I'm Mickey Desai.
Ben.
And we will see you again in about a week or so.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.